Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
And I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Rich Duffield. Rich, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here.
Well, Rich is joining us today to share his testimony and also some about the ministry that he's involved in. So, Rich, just start out telling us about where you're from and about how you grew up.
Sure, will do. So I grew up in a small town, West Virginia, about 3.5 hours from here. And kind of your all-American little kid, I suppose, in the sense that, I loved sports. I loved outdoors. I tried to make good grades, stayed out of trouble, all that good stuff. And, I didn't experience a lot of, I didn't experience a lot of things that start with the letter D. Divorce. I didn't experience drugs. I didn't experience drama. Life was pretty easy, except we didn't really have much money, but we had a garden, so it was like Cracker Barrel every night. So
fresh food.
Yeah, just I love being out in the woods. Love playing outside. And so I went to all through the school years. I was kind of like a good kid. I was a little bit of a fringer too. I would say I was kind of cool with everybody, but was never really in deep with a lot of people. But from a spiritual aspect of things, my parents had started going to a small little country church when I was probably about 7. Definitely heard a lot about hell at this church. It was enough to make me think, and I had a Sunday school teacher who put things in a different way, and she would tell me about Jesus wanted to be my friend. And I said, well, if I could be friends with Jesus, I would like to have that happen. I didn't see him anywhere, so I didn't know how that worked. And she said, well, he wants to be your friend, but problem is there's bad things that you've done that keep you from being able to be his friend. And, as an adult, I recognize she's talking about sin and sin separated me from him. And but she said, there is one way you can be his friend, and she tells the story of him dying for me, and I had to pay for my sin and the things that kept me separated from him. And so she said it wasn't enough just to know that, but I needed to make that my own. And probably about 10 years old, I remember just on my own, just praying, Jesus, come in my heart, make me who you want me to be, forgive me my sin, be my boss. And that's what started my relationship with the Lord. But I didn't know how to walk with God. My parents stopped going to church not long after that. And really from about 10 years old until my college years, I wasn't really in the church scene so much. I didn't know how to grow. I just kind of existed, I suppose. And so, yeah, it was my college years has really shaped the trajectory of my life.
Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking about the fact that in this window, as a little boy, a young boy, God moved the hearts of your parents to church. And in that window, yeah, I heard a lot about hell, but there was one person, just one, that you can look back and go, well, she was a picture of Christ to you, right? Like, yeah. She was, she showed you the compassion of Jesus. I don't know, to look back and see that God saw you and got you in the right place with the right person to tell you. Like, just the grace of God, the prevenient grace of God to do that. So that is powerful to think about that. And I think it helps all of us to go back and go, wait a minute, who in our story has done this for us?
Right.
So, yeah.
Who are those real impact players in your life?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. So you got to college and got connected to a ministry?
Yeah. Actually, I'll talk about another impact player in my life. His name is David Lutens. But so college, pretty aimless going into college. It was the mentality. My mentality was, if you're a bad kid, you drop out of school, go work in the coal mines.
What college were you at?
I went to Marshall over in West Virginia. But the good kids from my hometown, they went to college and then come back and work in the coal mines. And so I didn't really have any big dreams. Yeah, I went there to play baseball, and I played for a week, and I quit. And so I'm just like, yeah, I got to finish the college thing. And went to my sophomore year there. One of my friends from my hometown came to Marshall as a freshman. We were roommates. And fun story, he actually lives here in Harrisonburg now. But I remember seeing him reading his Bible. I remember asking him, hey, what do you do when you read that, you know? And he helped me understand, you know, I just, you know, ask God to speak to my heart, and I read the scripture and see what he has to tell me. And he was going to Baptist Campus Ministry thing on campus, and I would show up and just be there and learn, had fun. Started dating a girl from my hometown. We dated for a little over a year, and this is really where my story changed directions, because she dumped me and broke my little heart, and I went in probably an emotional tailspin that I probably didn't know what the word depression meant, but it was a dark semester. That was so going into my spring semester of my junior year was just kind of a dark time. But that's when I started to really think, you know, what I remember telling the guy, I know what it means to be in a relationship with you, but I don't know how to depend on you. I want to figure that out. And at this point, my roommate was going to Campus Crusade for Christ is what it was called, on campus. And I went. I didn't really want to go when he invited me previously, just because they had fun. You know, they laughed and they were happy people. And I was like, that's not what it's about. You know, you're supposed to be serious. And, you know, you do this church thing, which I had a bad perspective. And anyways, I went, and the laughter is what I needed, and drew me in. And this guy, Dave, walks up to me and he says, hey, I'd love to get together sometime and hear your story. So we get together in the student center and have a little small talk. And he eventually asked me, he said, hey, Rich, your best friend comes up to you and says, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to become a Christian. What do you tell them? And I was like, oh, I'll give him my pastor's phone number. I thought that was a great answer. But, you know, I look back and I think, well, I didn't have a church, let alone a pastor or a pastor's phone number. So he goes, no, what would you tell him? And I was like, well, Dave, I know what I did when I was a kid. I just don't know how to verbalize that. And then he asked me, hey, he said, I remember there was a public transportation bus going down the street. And he says, hey, morbid scene here. You know, hypothetically, he's kind of making a joke. But he said, you walk out in front of that bus and it's your last day on the earth. How sure are you that you're going to spend eternity with God? And I said, I'm 100%. Yeah, I was 100%. That was my answer, because right. I thought if I said 100, I wouldn't get any more hard questions. And, but then he asked me that question that followed up. He said, well, if you're standing before God and he says, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And I really wasn't sure how to answer that. And he just said, you mind if I give you my opinion? And he just unpacks the gospel message for me. And I remember thinking, like, yeah, that's where I'm at. That's what I believe. I've made that decision, or however you want to label that. And I really believe that's where I'm at. I just don't know how to grow. And he's like, well, I'd like to help you grow. And really, just to fast forward, we met pretty much every week, at least once a week until I graduated. Just a guy sat down, taught me the basic foundational truths of what it means to know the Lord, walk with the Lord, and to just to be a follower of Jesus.
Yeah.
And so he was the impact player in my life. Yeah, for sure.
So after college, you said you didn't have many dreams, but what happened after college? Where did God lead you after that?
Yeah. Well, I chose a major that said sports in it, just because it said sports in it. So I started with one. It was sports medicine. I quickly realized I didn't want to do that and switched to the other one, and it was sports management and marketing. And I had to do an internship to get my degree, to complete my degree. And I actually ended up at James Madison working in their athletic department. So I worked there for a year in 1999, 2000. And while I was sitting there in my little cubicle, I just remember thinking, it was around January of that year. And I remember thinking, I don't think I want to do this. Like, I don't want to come into an office every day, 8 to 5 every day, and go to every home sporting event that exists. And I just don't know that I want to do it. And it was like a 2-week period where the Lord was kind of removing that desire or that plan I had for my life. And at the same time, I kept thinking about this guy, Dave. I was like, I like what he does. I don't even know what he does. I just like what he does. You know, he gets to be on campus. He gets to have an impact in people's lives. And he got to play intramurals. I thought that was kind of cool. He doesn't have to dress up every day. I was like, whatever he does, I like that. And so I decided to fill out an application with a crew and end up, I was just going to intern. I wasn't sure. I had been challenged. Would you, if the Lord would ask you to commit at least a year of your life to serving him, would you do it? And it was I remember signing a pledge at this conference that was called the Millennial Pledge, because it was right in the year 2000. Right. If the Lord would ask you to go serve a year, would you at least give 1 year of your life? And I was also asked at the same time, when you're 75 years old, you look back on your life, what's one thing that you'll regret not doing that you could have done or you could still be doing? And I thought, I definitely regret not giving at least a year of my life to full-time vocational ministry. And so 25 years later, I was on staff with Crew and then switched over to Athletes in Action, which is just the athletic branch of Crew. You know, my wife, I did it for 25 years, and met my wife 2 years into that, and she was also on staff with the ministry. So together we served on staff for 25 years. She's still on staff with Athletes in Action, and I've since switched over to a similar organization called Nations of Coaches, which is works with college basketball teams.
Well, anything you want to share about how a one-year commitment turned into a basically a lifetime of service and ministry?
Well, I remember one of my a mentor who was on staff with the organization back in the day. I remember him saying, once you get a little taste of God using you, it's hard to get that taste out of your mouth. And I started doing that. I had to raise my financial support. I finished up in August, reported to campus when the semester began in August. And by September, I knew I wanted to do it full time. And so, you know, once that year was up, you fill out a full-time application and raise your financial support and get to campus. And so, it was a concept at the time. At that time, it was about, I'll ask you a trivia question here. What percentage of the world's population do you think are college students? Got any guesses?
I don't even have a good guess.
Well, right now, it's about 2% of the world's population, but at the time, it was about 1%. There's so many different avenues to have college education now, but it's about 1%, and those we call that the powerful 1%, because who is the most likely influential world leaders? And I thought, what's my best way to have an impact on the world? It's probably to impact people that are most likely to be the next influential world leaders. And so, you know, it's like, you know, this is where I want to, where I want to do it. It's how my life changed. So I want to invest into people how somebody invested into me. 2 Timothy 2:2 is the concept.
Yeah, that's, I was, as you've been talking, I've been just reflecting on the fact that the very thing that brought you hope, you know, that's a pretty good platform to extend to others, right? So how, as you went into ministry, how easy was it to minister to those college students? Like, were they, I know you can't just one and all the same, but what was that experience like?
Yeah. College students are interesting because they're, most of them think they know everything already, but at the same time, they're very open to learning and hearing ideas, very open-minded people for the most part. I think college students catch a little bit of a bad rap because they get labeled a certain way maybe, but, and some of the stereotypes of college students are definitely true, but I mean,
not for everyone,
not for everybody. Right. Yeah. And yeah, there's a lot of open-mindedness, and it's, you know, I think about if you took a bird's eye view, if you're able to fly over campus, take a bird's eye view of what's going on campus, you see all these different people groups. You know, whether it be the soccer team or the sorority or the, you know, I used to work at Morehead State in Kentucky. We had had the Star Wars order. You know, there was people who had lightsaber and they reenacted scenes. It's just, you know, it's a whole different, it's just all these different people groups. And, you know, I think everybody in every people group have the same needs and that they all have the same hole in their heart that only Jesus can fill. And I thought, you know, when it comes to ministering to these college students, if you could find somebody who's a Christ follower in every people group and try to invest into them, it just seems like not a strategy. It's not so much a strategy as it just is. That's just how God designed it.
It's a door. It's an open door to relationship and conversation. And you're right. Every one of us have been made with this void that only God can fill. And whether it's lightsabers or, you know, whatever it might be. Like, we try to fill it with something. Not that there are a lot of things that we do that aren't bad, but if God's not filling that void, it's just, it will never fill complete.
Right. I think one of the times my faith grew stronger was had a lot of opportunities to go overseas with Crew and just lots of places in Central Asia and places in Europe and went to Argentina. And once I was in Argentina, I remember we were talking to these college students, and I remember this one student saying very specifically, like, it feels like there's something missing. And then I spent some time in Uzbekistan, and I heard a student say, it feels like something's missing. And then in Kazakhstan, I heard a student say, it feels like something's missing. And you know, all you start hearing that, it's like, oh, we have the same thing missing in America. And everybody around the world has the same hole. You know, I think it's Blaise Pascal said, there's a God-shaped vacuum in everybody's heart. And that was confirmed to me when I was able to be in some different places.
You mentioned that you were at Morehead State. How many years were you there? And then talk about how you ended up back here in Harrisonburg. I know you mentioned you were here for a year back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, maybe I'll start at the beginning. I worked at Marshall for 1 year with crew, and then as an intern. And then when I went full time, I was at North Carolina State in Raleigh, North Carolina. And then while I was there, my wife and I met on a crew summer mission project. She was on staff with a crew in Indianapolis, and so we dated long distance for a year and engaged for 7 months, all long distance. And once we got married, she joined me there, and then had a little wrestling in my heart as to, you know, you could start to feel like, you know, something's next. There's a next move coming up. And there was a role opened up in Central Kentucky, which was in Lexington. And the role there was to lead a team that was going to lots of campuses all around the state. You go and you try to find students who want to be about what you're about, and you invest into them, and then they run the ministry pretty much. And you just investing in them and letting them do it, which I love that style of ministry. So basically every school in the state that wasn't UK, University of Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky University, University of Louisville, we were trying to get to. And there were lots of them, and one of them was Morehead State. And so we drove there once a week. It was about an hour for 9 years. And then in 2012, I actually went part-time with crew and served as in a pastoral role at a church plant, and did that for 3 years. And then I just realized my heart was more with college students, came back full-time. And at that time, we decided to start a team over in Morehead, Kentucky, which is in northeastern Kentucky. And spent a lot of time focusing there, still going to a few other campuses. While there, we quickly started to see open doors in athletics. You know, we had our neighbor was a baseball coach, and in our community, they had a flat yard. They were the only house with a flat yard. And so, you know, our kids, we go down there all the time, hang out and play there. And then the basketball coach, him and his wife would be there time to time. We just got connected with him, and just a lot of open doors happened in the athletic department. And so that's when we decided to transition over to Athletes in Action, just so we'd give a little specific focus towards athletes. And so we lived there for 10 years. And part of my role there, I volunteered as a character coach with the basketball team. So I've become friends with Coach Spradlin, who was the basketball coach there at the time. And he invited me to come and be a character coach, which I wasn't even sure what that was. But it's basically you give support to the team, whether it's whatever the coach desires, really. Sometimes it's helping develop team culture. Sometimes it's leadership development. Sometimes character development. Sometimes it's spiritual development. But it's a real platform to be able to live out your faith in front of players. And so volunteered doing that for about 6-7 years. And then he came over here, took the JMU job, and I stayed back at Morehead for another year. And it was another one of those times where there was this obvious wrestling in my heart as the Lord's up to something. And I could tell a move of some sort was going to happen. And you realize there's an opportunity to, with Nations of Coaches, I could be a full-time character coach for a team. And Coach Bradley invited me over. And so yeah, you know, had to raise a whole lot more support, and which is, you know, God always provides. And we moved over. So now I get to serve as a character coach full time with the basketball team. And my wife is working with Athletes in Action on campus. And our volleyball coach, who actually attends the church here, she's invited my wife to come serve as character coach as well. And so my wife has really gotten in a mix with volleyball. Yeah.
That's amazing. When Kevin came on as our pastor, over the next couple of months, the collective height of our church has grown. Mm-hmm. I am in the minority of that. Like, the height of people that walk in, and I'm like, oh. You start to go, what, you know, they must have a connection. So it's been beautiful to see, and not only with coaches that have came in relationship with Pastor Kevin, but then beginning to see basketball players walk in, and Miss Kathy, and to see the relational type of ministry that happens. There are people that would look at JMU and go, wow, what is happening over there? But there are some things that are happening, you know, like the
Lord. There's a lot of great ministries on campus that are doing a lot of good things.
So. Yeah, and that's been a real encouragement.
Yeah, I said that one Sunday to Rich. I said, I think it encourages people to see all these basketball players and other college students here. And he said, unless you're sitting behind them, and then it's hard to see.
Yeah, I was sitting behind them. There was about six of them in a row the other day. And there's one guy that's 6 foot. Everybody else was 6'7" to 6'9". And I was behind them, and I'm 6'6" myself. And I can't even see. I'm just going to slide down to another seat.
At 5'2", I don't see much if I'm behind them. Yeah, it is a real blessing just to see, just to hear your story and how God has moved you. And I was thinking about just how the things, like there's so many moving parts that we don't see. But you've talked a few times about when you felt like there was something next, or there, you know, there's a little bit of a, there's a shift that you feel. Talk about that a little bit. Like, what's your process? It's happened to you a few times.
Yeah.
And so for those that are listening and maybe they feel a shift, but they don't know what to do with it, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say it's happened about 5 times for me, and it's resulted in a move or a different role each time. And I think the process for me has just been, you just get a little bit excited about an opportunity. The thing that I'm doing currently, like, it starts to, I notice I start to lose a little passion for it.
Fades.
But at the same time, there's another thing that seems exciting. And it's like, you know, that may just be God doing something. And so, you know, I don't necessarily pray for peace. You know, sometimes we're advised, you know, make sure you have the peace of God before you do it. And I get it. I understand what that means. But sometimes I think we take that to mean I just feel totally comfortable doing it. Mm-hmm. And none of the moves have been really comfortable. They've all been pretty scary, especially this more recent one. I mean, you know, the idea of moving over here, we lived somewhere for 10 years and we uproot my kids. My kids are 15 and 12, and one just started freshman year of high school. The other's a seventh grader. That's hard, you know. And it's honestly, it's hard right now. Like it's just a hard, those are hard transitions. And so the peace of God doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. It just means I believe this is what the Lord wants me to do. And then I just go and do it. Just go. I read a book recently called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day by Mark Batterson. That one really got me as I was considering making this move, because there was lots of reasons not to make the move, but I just felt the sense of moving. But in that book, you know, it talks about a man named Benaiah who went in the scripture, I believe it's in, I can't remember if it's 1 or 2 Samuel, and it's chapter 20, I believe. It's in there. Trust me, I had to look it up to get to the scripture. But the scripture says, and Benaiah went into a pit and killed a lion on a snowy day. And that's the verse. And you think, why did he do that? Like, why did he go into a pit? Well, he didn't go in with a gun. You know, he went in probably with a club or maybe a spear. I don't know. But he kills a lion in a pit. He went in there probably as a protector. That it just needed to happen. And he went in with the risk of it could all go south. Real quick, but it didn't. And as you read that book, you start to realize it's a book about taking risks, steps of faith that are risky even. And yeah, I doubt Benaiah had any real sense of like peace and calm about going into a pit with a lion on a snowy day, but he believed that's what he was supposed to do. So he went in and that turned out okay. Yeah. But there's other situations that don't turn out how he thought it would turn out. And so I don't know what the outcome here is, but I believe it's where I'm supposed to be. And I try to remember that and trust that as, you know, kids have transitions and there's hard things and about it. It's hard things for us, too, as a family, just trying to figure out a new place and a new town. But, yeah, just that rustling in your soul happens and then decide to go for it and trust it. Take the initiative and the power of the Spirit and leave the results to God.
Yeah, I think about Peter stepping out onto the water. I doubt that he had peace either.
No.
You know, but it depends on where we're looking to for our help, you know, and why we're doing it, the motive of our heart and trusting.
Yeah.
I love the scripture in Psalm 139:5. It says, the Lord goes before us every step of the way, and he protects us from the harm of our past and imparts blessing on us. One translation says, you know, he hems us in, mm-hmm. and he imparts blessing on his children. But I love this idea that he's going before us, and he does come in behind us. He is all around us in those moves. And we can never know exactly what they're going to look like. And some days we may question, was that the right move? Mm-hmm. But we're human. And the one litmus test that I will use sometimes is, would you want to be who you were before you made that decision? Right. And has God grown you through this?
Yeah. That's good.
A lot of times people go, well, you know, no, I wouldn't want to be where I was. Like, God's done some things in my life. And even it's another challenge for us to trust him deeper, right?
Especially when you leave a situation that's already comfortable. I mean, we were in a comfortable situation there. Yeah. And had it, in regards to what we do in our roles as in ministry, like, we had a maid. We had an open door to the athletic department. They let us do whatever we want. They wanted us there. And then, you know, you don't always know what it's going to be on the other side.
Yeah. Right.
Well, Rich, thank you for you and your family's obedience in coming here, even though, like you said, it hasn't always been easy. I'll also share some about Nation of Coaches that you're a part of, and you talked about having to raise support. So if you want to share how people either can support you or how they can pray for you or anything you would want to share about
sure,
that.
Yeah, so Nations of Coaches, it's an organization that the founder of it, he says, you know, they want to place light in dark places. And what they think about when they say that is, we're trying to place character coaches on teams. We'd love to have a character coach on every team in the country, college basketball team, men's and women's. And so what that looks like sometimes is it's a lot of volunteers, and there's a few of us that do it full time. And so the volunteers can be from any organization. It doesn't matter if you're FCA, Athletes in Action, if you're, you know, one of my favorite character coach mentor guys, he's a real estate agent. He just has a heart for the team in his town, and the coach has given full access, and he just does an excellent job. So, you know, my day-to-day is being with the team, you know, whether it's leading the various team meetings or just being at practice or traveling with them on the road, just being present. I try to say try to be a piece of furniture in the room where, you know, if the furniture wasn't there and they wanted to sit down, well, that'd just be a bummer. I want to be a piece of furniture in the room where if somebody wants to come and sit and talk, and you know, it's there. I'm there to come and lean on. But yeah, we as full-time guys, we raise our financial support. I hate calling that. It's not what we don't say. We're just raising money. We're trying to partner,
right?
Find ministry partners, people who partner with us to get out there and do it. Because without the partners, we couldn't do it. And so I believe that people who give are just as part of what's going on as me being there. But a certain amount we try to raise. My salary comes from that, and the ministry budget comes from that. So yeah, if anybody would love to be a partner or learn more about it, I would love to hear from you. I'd love to sit and chat with you. There's people who give on a monthly basis. There's people who give, you know, one time special gifts. And but the way to give, if you were trying to find me, would be go to nationsofcoaches.com. So it's nations with an S of coaches.com. And if you click on our team, you can scroll down. You can find me on there, Rich Duffield. And there's a giving link on there as well. But even if you just wanted to hear more about what's going on, love to chat it up. But if you want to pray real specifically, you know, like, it just comes down to this. Like, I want to see players and coaches come to know the Lord. And we have believing coaches. We have some believing players, but not everybody. Right. So I'm praying for opportunities and open doors for gospel conversations. Even after I leave here, when I leave here, I've got an appointment with a fella, and excited to get to talk more about the gospel with him. So yeah, that's
right. That's great.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, Rich, it's been great to have you today. Thank you for sharing with us. I'm just going to say a prayer in closing for you and your family and your ministry. Lord, I just thank you for Rich and for his ministry, and I pray for him and his wife and his kids, Lord, in this transition. And I thank you for their obedience to come here, and just pray for, whether it be the basketball players or the volleyball players or their kids, the people they're coming in contact with, just the people they're ministering to, Lord, just thank you for the blessing that they are to our church and to our community. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Sure appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Rich Duffield's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.